doctor, you can call him at 866-444-DIRT. And here he is, Howard Garrett.
Well, there's a little frost on the pumpkin this morning. Mary Rose mentioned when I came in, and yes, indeed, it's interesting how it can be so frosty and not be 32 degrees, but that's the case here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Really pretty driving in. I was walking Tater real quickly this morning to, in fact, I got a story to tell you about that, that thing that he and I do together. I'll get to it in a little bit, but went out this morning and noticed the neighbor's grass. We don't have any grass. Had some pretty good frost on it. So we can talk about that. We moved a few things into the greenhouse ourselves yesterday. Have some tropicals, a big rubber plant, and a great big, it's gotten almost too big to, I don't know what I'm going to do with it long term. A Dracaena marginata, one of the Dracaenas that has the red variegations, the red lines on the foliage. Move those in. A few other things I was looking around this morning that we need to go ahead and start to move in so we can talk about that. If you've got a greenhouse situation like we do, which is pretty un-airtight, we'll be putting some extra plastic on it as we do every year here pretty soon so we can keep the tropicals and the tender things in a hospital situation over the wintertime. My greenhouse is designed so that when the sun is low in the southern sky in the winter months, the light comes in at an angle that goes all the way to the back wall. It has a solid roof on it, so in the summertime, very little direct sun gets in it. So it would be really a lot better for propagation purposes and experiments as it was originally intended if I hadn't planted so many trees around nearby, which are shading the greenhouse now for most of the day. It gets full sun during the middle of the day. But anyway, if you got some questions about anything related to the weather, the main thing I'd recommend that everybody do if you haven't already is get some floating row cover. Doesn't matter which brand that you buy. There's about five or six different brands if you want to see something. We've written about that in the past. In fact, I think we did a newsletter on it. You can go to the library of dirtdoctor.com and find information on it. What I'd recommend in general is buy one that's as lightweight as you can find. Some of them are heavier than others. Some are almost like sheets and more less translucent. They don't let as much light through. You want the lightweight ones because they do what the name implies. They float over the plants, and they keep the wind and keep the insects away to a certain degree, and also give you about 4 to 5 degrees protection. And you can use them on row crops. That's where the name came from, floating row cover. But you can also use them around potted plants, drape it over potted plants and things like that as well. It's a great tool. And if you're just halfway careful with it, you can fold it up and save it for the next year. It'll last a long time. And it's a synthetic fabric, lightweight fabric, one that Bob and I were talking about yesterday that's available around this part of the country fairly easily. It's called Insulate, the letter N, Insulate. But there's at least five or six different brands that you can use. When you call in, you'll be talking to Mary Rose, and she'll get y'all set up to go on the air, and we will probably go to the phones pretty quickly here. I've got some things to do, and we need to talk about it in Howard's Garden, obviously, but we'll go to the phones pretty quickly. 866-444-DIRT is the phone number, 866-444-3478. I'll give you the SPCA report in a minute because I need to pull the we've got it on dirtdoctor.com. The dog, I think the one from last week, got adopted, if I noticed it correctly when I was looking at it before, but I'll get that up for you in a little bit. My tea, ginger-based And then the other ingredients this time are lemon verbena, little lemon juice, and, of course, the apple cider vinegar. Also put a little bit of fennel in as well. The fennel's real near the lemon verbena, so I tend to grab both of them when I'm getting the tea ready to go. The frost probably didn't hurt anything unless you had something outside that's really a delicate tropical plant. There's a few plants that can't stand very much in the way of freezing temperature at all. Now, it did not get, in our area, it did not get to 32 degrees. It was about 37 in my car and what was on my phone both, so that must have been pretty close. But that temperature right at the ground level can get down to the point where you do have the frost. So some small, delicate things may have had some injury. Now, what this also does, we've been talking for a long time now about transplanting and planting new trees and all that, but especially transplanting, you're definitely in the window now. As soon as we have weather that's this cool, that fall temperature, starts showing up. You can already notice it this morning here. Of course, if you're north of us, we're in zone 8 here. If you're north of us, you've probably already gone past that point, but for anybody now pretty much that's had the kind of temperature that we had here last night, transplanting is a perfect thing to do. I was noticing some of the little ginkgo trees that are growing around in my garden. I'll be pulling those up now and transplanting them. You can do that any time of the year, but your chances now that we've had the cold weather are a whole lot higher, so it's a good thing to do. The other thing is the next newsletter that we do, I was going to talk about it on the show, but I'm going to do a newsletter about this too because we're into that window now where it's the perfect time for you to do a very important annual procedure for your trees, and that is pull the ground cover and the ivies, the vines in general, back from the tree. Get it off the trunks. We used to say incorrectly that it was okay to leave the vines and ground covers on the trunks of trees. Just don't let it get up in the foliage. And that's not right. You don't want it on the trunk either because the ground covers and ivies, the ground covers functioning as a vine crawling up on the tree. But especially things like English ivy that hold real fast, you want to get those off because they will do just about as much damage as having bark and or soil up too high on the tree. If nothing else, they will collect dust and debris, organic material, and build up soil and create these little pockets on the trunk that can lead to rot. But even if that doesn't happen, it shuts down the breathing of the bark, which is the first main thing that we're concerned about in getting bark and soil off the flares and off the trunks of trees. So I usually pull the ground cover back at least a foot, sometimes about 18 inches. It really depends on what the situation is. The farther out you go, less often you have to do it. So pulling it back at least 12 inches does two things. One, it gets it off the trunk of the tree for sure. And then two, it allows you to see the flare and see whether the soil is up on the flare in the trunk or not. And a lot of times I've had to deal with this myself, even if you've exposed the flare of your trees properly. Over a period of time, the debris and the mulches moving around and all that kind of thing will build back up. It's really easy to knock it off because it'll be real loose. I use an electric blower to knock off the debris. It'll be things like leaves that have built up and acorns and various twigs and things like that, fruit, if it's fruiting trees. Just blow all that away and make sure you've got the flare dramatically exposed. If you're hearing this for the first time and wondering what the flare is, just look on our doctor.com website and go into the library. Root flares, trunk flares. It'll be in several places in there. There's general information about the flare exposure And there's also specific photographs and explanations. One of the things we've done for the new organic manual that's going to be coming out that we're doing with Mother Earth News is we've put a chart in there. And you can find that chart. I got it from Sandy Rose. He gave it to me some time ago. We redid it and kind of added a few little points to it. And it's been part of a newsletter, so you can see it in the library and you can see it in archives of the newsletter. But it'll also be part of the flare information in the new organic manual. It's coming out probably in a month or so. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be back. When various pains slow you down, you should reach for real-time pain relief. It's non-greasy, relieves pain in minutes, smells great, and contains no harmful chemicals, GMOs, parabens, or SLS. Ask for it at your favorite store. You can also order it today and receive a free $10 tube with your purchase of $10 or more by texting DIRT to 90407, calling 877-787-7180, or going to rtpr.com and using the promo code DIRT.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Garrett Juice Pro, and Sick Tree Treatment, can now help you with innovative products. If you're a grower, rancher, or landscape contractor, Maestro Grow can manufacture products specifically designed for your needs and property. For more information, call Chris, 214-436-3617, or go to maestro-grow.com. That's 214-436-3617. Remember to ask for Maestro Grow products.
As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that's a big deal because glutathione is our body's master antioxidant, repairing cell damage caused by environmental toxins and aging. RegActive's probiotic strain ME3 is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in the body. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, known for introducing Dr. O'Hara's fantastic probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Dirt Doctor advice, look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com and click on the certification course banner.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Okay, I was right. The dog at the SPCA from last week, Radar, was adopted. East is still waiting for his forever home. I don't remember East. So maybe that was one that we talked about, but I don't remember. Anyway, this week is a good-looking lab shepherd mix. It's a girl, 10 months old, weighs 38 pounds. Really good size there. She's a petite little lady, as you can see from her picture. She's really pretty. We got good shots of all these dogs. This is the SPCA in Dallas, just west of downtown Dallas. And let's see, her owner's had landlord problems is the reason she's at the SPCA looking for a new home. She's a little bit shy when you first meet her, but she quickly has learned the staff and volunteers, and she's getting along with people really well. She knows several commands already, and it looks like a good one. So check out, those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, check out Ava. And the other dogs there, the facility's great. If you have a chance to go by there and check it out, I think you'd be very impressed, as I have been. Telephone number, again, is 866-444-3478. The new contest is up on the website on dirtdoctor.com. It's one of those windows that rotates right there on the home page, and if you guess what the plant is, in this case it is a plant, obviously. We won't always do plants. Sometimes we'll do insects or diseases or whatever. Turn it into a little learning experience. But you win a course. We have an online course, the Natural Organic Certification course, to become certified in the organic arena. And whoever guesses the contest question first wins one of the courses. So check that out. Clem called in real early. I'm going to go ahead and chat with Clem and see if we can help out. Hello, Clem.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm fine. In the Trophy Club, huh?
Yes, sir. That's where we're located. I killed a bunch of noxious weeds that had sprung up in the Bermuda grass this summer. They grew in the shape of maybe a saucer, and all the leaves point outward. And I killed them with 20% vinegar. It took two applications to actually kill them. They were tough weeds. Mm-hmm. But now my question is, how do I go about now reseeding? Can I just put Bermuda seed into the dead areas and let nature take its course? Or do I have to pull all the dead weeds out and then try to reseed?
Well, how big an area are we talking about here, Clem?
Well, some of them are maybe 2x4, and one or two are maybe a yard by 2 yards.
Okay. The only seed you can plant right now and have any success would be those grasses that we refer to as cool season grasses, things like rye, fescue, those kind of things. One thing that you could consider doing as a temporary thing and then wait till next spring to plant Bermuda grass seed is plant something like Elbon rye. That's a cereal grain rather than a grass, and it germinates very quickly, and it's just a real easy thing to get going, and it's also real easy to get rid of when you need to plant the summer grasses. The other thing is, if you don't have too, and that's why I was asking about the size, if you don't have too much square footage, I would go ahead and buy some solid sod of whatever the turf is that you have. I assume it's Bermuda grass.
Right.
And plant it solid sod right now and be done with it. And it'll come out next spring and, you know, you won't have to deal with it. It's going to it'll cost less, but time-wise and everything, it's going to be a lot more trouble to go the grass seed route because it'll be a two-step process. If you plant Bermuda grass seed now, it'll probably germinate to some degree next spring, but it's just going to sit around in the meantime and get eaten by insects and things like that, and not all of it will be left by springtime.
Mm-hmm. So what time in the spring would I put Bermuda seed in?
70 degrees.
70 degrees?
70 degrees air and soil is pretty much the, you know, what we give people as the ideal.
Right. I'm going to try to go that seeding route rather than sodding. That sodding looks like it would be a bit of a problem, cutting sod up into the right shapes and everything. So I'll try the reseeding process. Now, when I reseed, the question still in my mind is, can I just put that seed in with the dead weeds, or do I have to actually physically dig the dead weeds out right down to the roots?
Well, if you
now the weeds are definitely dead. They're all brown. I assume I've killed them permanently.
Well, that's good. If you just scalp it all down so it's not high, you can plant the seed in there. If you rough it up a little bit, it'd be better. You don't have to get every little piece of the old dead plants out of there, though.
Okay. Right. Very good. Thank you, Howard.
Thank you, Clem. Talk to you later. All righty. And the number is 866-444-3478. Doing a little gardening myself in Howard's garden activities this weekend. Yesterday, primarily, I planted an experimental bed of okra. I only planted it about a month ago, and they're little plants. They're 3 feet tall, you know, instead of 8 or 10 or 14 feet tall as if you had planted them early in the spring. And they're producing like crazy. It's going to be interesting what the little frost did last night. I'll tell you more about that and other things in the garden. We got a lot of new stuff going in the compost pile. Talk about that management a little bit. And anything you want to chat about, I'm Howard Garrett. I'll be right back after this.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on dirtdoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garra Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garra Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
If you were there for the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, this message is for you. You can fight the effects of aging by eating right, exercising, and getting some garlic every day. The healing and health-giving properties of garlic are as wonderful as Venus aligning with Mars. And the easiest way to get all of garlic's benefits is with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Natural aging makes organically grown kyolic a true antioxidant. Hospital and university studies show that kyolic aged garlic extract helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels and normal blood pressure while improving circulation. Kyolic even helps build your immune system so you can keep on keeping on. For more information or to find a store near you, visit kyolic.com. That's K-Y-O-L-I-C.com. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, for people who take their garlic and their health seriously. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. Let's talk about tree trimming in just a minute. But first, John's calling from Mansfield, Texas. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
I have a quick question for you. We just put in a pool, and, of course, they tore up the yard. So the half front yard and along the side is dirt now, and we'd rather not have dirt for the winter going into the spring. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on laying St. Augustine sod down this time of year.
I don't think there's any problem at all, John. Planting solid sod pretty much year-round is fine. Probably a good time to get somebody to help you with it because a lot of the companies aren't as busy. I guess the only thing that might hamper the idea is if there's any available right now. I think there will be because solid sod goes in on commercial landscapes and golf courses and everything, you know, basically every month of the year.
Okay. Well, that's a great answer.
Yeah, just put it, and when you plant it, I've got a little bit different recommendations on planting solid sod. What you want to do is get it graded out and smooth, and if you rough it up where there's been compaction from construction, that's a good thing to do. But that's basically all of the bed preparation you want to do for turf grass. Then we put the solid sod in, and then we apply a thin layer of compost. Just kind of feathered broadcast it across the top and or an organic fertilizer, but you put it on top of the sod, not under the sod. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
We used to say that it'd be a good idea to till some compost into the soil and do some kind of bed preparation, but anecdotal experiments and our own personal experience with it and a lot of contractors and everything has proven that it's just better to save the money and the time and do it the way that I explained. You can wet the – if you get sod in and it's not moist, wetting the back side of it, the soil side of it, before you put it down and having the soil moist, not sopping wet, but moist as well, that helps a whole lot. But that's more important in the summertime than doing it right now. Doing it now, you pretty much put it down, do a little organic application to the surface, water it in really well, and you're all set.
All right, great. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. 866-444-3478. We're also into that window now, being into November, and for a lot of people, cold weather. We're in that window where you can certainly do tree trimming. And it's a time for people, even in oak wilt areas and places where certain diseases are a problem, you don't really need to worry about painting cuts, in my opinion. Some of my compadres, including Bob Webster and others, Bob is on the air with a show similar to this down in San Antonio, and he and I visit every Saturday morning on his show. And he really recommends painting the cuts. I've really had a lot of experience with trees on all kinds of projects, and the pruning, I've never seen the oak wilt move into an area where pruning has been done. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but I've become a little bit cavalier, I guess, about it, and I've never done pruning paint on my own trees for sure. If you do, there's a tip I have for you. There's a pruning paint, really good arborist and tree care companies use this material, but if they don't, you need to ask for it to be used if you are going to paint the cuts, if you're worried about some disease or something. It's called lac balsam. Two words, LACBALSAM, lac balsam. And the reason it's better is that it breathes. It remains flexible. It doesn't harden off like other kinds of wound dressings do. It stays flexible, and as a result of that, it breathes, it allows air in. And that's important because on a pruning cut, what we want is that callus to form. You've seen it. It forms kind of a rounded growth and starts moving in to cover the wound. That's the callus growing back in. And it's going to grow in faster. And there's research backing this up from several different places. It forms faster and heals, covers up, compartmentalizes the pruned area, the cut, faster if you do not use a wound dressing or a pruning paint of any kind. But if you are going to use one, the lac balsam is a good thing to do. Some people will do something as simple as using orange shellac on the cut, thinking that the fragrance of it and just the different material there will keep the vectors that bring in pathogens that might be a problem away. So either way you want to go, but pruning now can certainly begin widespread. You do not want to do pruning that prunes too much out of trees. It's called gutting. And when you prune too much out of trees, you actually set up a situation in the tree where if we have an ice storm, you're going to have a whole lot more damage. The tree didn't want those limbs and those leaves and everything. They wouldn't be there. So cutting out a huge amount of them, and the worst thing I see done is people that are convinced that they should severely thin their trees on an annual basis every fall or winter. Terrible thing to do. Because, like I said, you're going to set up a situation where ice damage may be more prevalent, and a lot of other things can happen as well. One of the things that can happen, if you overprune certain trees, you'll get this fuzzy growth coming out on the stems that looks real artificial. It's trying to put back, you know, what's been taken away. So Pruning's fine if pruning needs to be done. If there's too much weight on one side of the tree or the other, if limbs are in the way of walking or cars or hitting the house, you know, allowing wildlife to get on the house easy, something like that, you know, do the pruning that's necessary. But all those things that I just mentioned are pruning events for your benefit, not for the tree's benefit, other than the tree being real one-sided and weight might break or something like that. If you've got codominant branching, what codominant branching means is you've got two strong trunks growing real close together or two limbs that are growing real close together forming a real tight V. Cutting one of those completely away is something that is beneficial to the tree and needs to be addressed. I'm doing some of that myself on some trees because I was just kind of careless on planting some things years ago in our experimental gardens, and I've got some situations where I've got some codominant trunks and branching, and I'm going to be taking off now what would scare a lot of people because it appears to be quite a lot of the volume of the tree. But in this case, that branch that's left will become the single dominant terminal growth, and it'll fill out very quickly in the next growing season, and your tree will look better in no time at all. If you've got limbs crossing, if you've got diseased areas, if you've got some disease like hypoxylin canker, you don't need to panic and think the tree is sick and is dying. It may just be that a limb has gotten shaded out or it was damaged in a windstorm or something like that. And that hypoxylin canker, which is that gray or black-looking material that forms, it's just the last step of that limb dying. So cutting out those kind of dying limbs just to tidy up the tree is something that you need to do. And let's see what else on the pruning. Pruning cuts, very important. And there's really some bad information out there about what kind of pruning cuts to do. People will say do flush cuts. I did too years ago because that's what we were taught, to make the cut as close to the trunk as you possibly can, called flush cuts. Terrible thing to do. And the reason it's a terrible thing to do is it injures the tree. And the reason it injures the tree is when you make a flush cut in cutting a limb off, that stub that you've cut away by making a flush cut is part of the trunk. It's not part of the limb. And so when you cut it off, you have cut into the trunk. You've injured that trunk, and rot will very often get started at the top and the bottom of that cut. The other thing you'll notice is that if you make an improper cut that's too close to the trunk, and you do not have to go all the way flush to the trunk to make an improper cut, and I'll explain in a minute. But if you make a cut at the proper place, and a lot of times just setting the saw in the joint so it's kind of at a comfortable place, that's a good place in a lot of cases to start and be outside what's called the branch collar. That swelling that you can see on most trees, it's different on different kinds of trees, but the swelling will have a different texture than the bark of the trunk. And so we want to stay outside and protect that swelling, which is called the branch collar, which will stick out at the top a certain distance, and then at the bottom of it, it will stick out usually about twice that difference. In other words, the proper cut will slope out slightly from top to bottom. Then when you're finished making the cut, here's a key that you'll get used to real fast. If you look after making a cut straight into the cut, a proper cut will be round. It'll be almost perfectly round because it's the limb that you're looking at. If it's oval or football shaped, that's bad. That means you cut in way too close and you cut into or you completely removed this healing device the tree has called the branch collar. If you look at plants where the cut has been done properly, you'll notice very fast callusing that's real even all the way around the cut, and it closes up fast and makes a kind of a slight raised area after it's completely covered. And you can tell that it's just healthy looking. It looked like it healed properly. It didn't heal. It covered itself. It compartmentalized the cut. Trees don't heal like we do. But if it is football-shaped or oval, you'll notice that that callusing, which will form too, but it'll be thin in some places, usually at the top and the bottom, and thicker at the sides. In other words, it won't be uniform, and you'll get some bad healing and a lot of times decay started. So that's why you do not want to do that. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be back. Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. You can buy it in bags or bulk. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752 or go to AmericanRio.com.
Xylo bags are the newest and best development in compostable multi-use bags. Rather than food sources like corn, Xylo bags are made using lignin, a byproduct from paper mills, so no additional trees or other crops are harvested to produce Xylo bags. Ask for Xylo bags in your grocery store, hardware store, or wherever you buy bags. Available online at Amazon. For more information, go to xylobags.com. Xylo bags, the best compostable bags available.
Do your probiotics have baggage? They should. You see, if your probiotics do not include prebiotics as well as postbiotics, then you're missing out on a lot of healthy benefits. Most probiotic products do not contain prebiotics, their food, or postbiotics, the organic matter that promotes the long-term colonization of the good versus bad bacteria in your body. But Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics does. Select live probiotic bacteria are blended with fruits, vegetables, seaweed, and herbs, and allowed to grow over 3 years to assure superior digestive and immune support. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics then combines this rich culture medium, prebiotics, and the resulting nutrients from this fermentation process, postbiotics, providing you with a superior probiotic supplement. No other probiotic can offer your body this support. So switch to the best premium probiotic on your retailer shelf today. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, available at fine health food stores. Don't accept a substitute.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
The telephone number, if you want to call in, is 866-444-3478. One of the things also that I had going on in my garden was planting some pansies. I planted some violas and some pansies as well. It's a great time to do that. It's also because we've had such a long, warm spell, kind of late getting into cool weather. It's still good for a lot of you to plant cool season vegetables. And if you hadn't gotten into that, I'd recommend you give it a try. It's a lot of fun, and you can really produce a lot through the winter. We'll, you know, likely to have another fairly mild, which is becoming the typical winter here, which means you can plant now. Still good time to plant onions and garlic. Great time, as a matter of fact, and it's a good time to plant spinach and lettuce. A lot of people had failure with those crops planting at the more normal time because it stayed so hot and it got up and down. Temperature knocked out a lot of the young seedlings. So you've got another opportunity here. Beets, cauliflower, broccoli, things like that, transplants from the garden, a lot of the garden centers have some real nice looking transplants right now. And it's a good time to get those cool season things in. Snow peas, the vining or the bushing ones, either be something real fun to do. Get you some floating row cover while you're there. The worst risk, and these transplants don't cost very much money anyway, is going from really warm afternoon to dropping, you know, the bottom out of everything and being really cold in a short period of time. And that's when that floating row cover will really come in handy. The story I was going to tell you about a tater and going out in the morning is kind of interesting. It scared me to death. Those of you that listened to the show last week, you know we had a guest on. We talked about wildlife management, kind of off and on for the whole show. And with Bonnie Bradshaw and coyotes, coyote management led that off. And what Bonnie recommended was in controlling coyotes in a urban situation or anywhere, really, that killing them, trapping, shooting, poisoning, all those kind of things. Not only are there some side problems with it, the reasons you don't want to do it, but also it doesn't control them. It can make the situation worse because taking out the dominant coyotes creates a situation where the females that are left going to heat have bigger litters, and you end up with more coyotes as a result. And she recommended strongly hazing. In other words, when you run into coyotes, clapping your hands, making loud noises, waving your arms, doing something dramatic, instead of saying, oh, how pretty they are, and taking their picture and encouraging them, letting them know that, you know, there's not a danger there. Well, here's my recent experience. We go out, Tater and I go out to get the paper every morning. He loves to do it, and he sniffs around and all that kind of thing at all the dogs, you know, that have been walking by in the past and all that sort of thing. And I've been leery of what's going on now for a while, and it's the one time that in the past I've let him off the leash, and he minds pretty well, hangs around with me. We get the paper, he does his smelling around and his business, and we go back in the house. Because we've been seeing coyotes so much, I started carrying a walking cane that I have. It's a fiberglass walking cane that's yellow, has a rubber handle and a rubber tip on it. And it would make a pretty good weapon, I guess. So I thought, well, I'll just have that with me in case we run into anything. Well, I opened the door a couple of days ago, and two coyotes are in the front yard. Tater takes after him 100 miles an hour, and it's actually a condition, I guess, where his one of his back legs pops out of joint, and it's really painful. He screams like bloody murder when it happens. But then a lot of the time he runs around and he's fine, and it stays there. Well, he was running, you know, so fast, it's amazing. You wouldn't think he had any problems with his legs at all. And he chased him. He went after him. They started going away. I started yelling like a banshee, like a mental patient, you know, and waving my arms and my cane, yelling at him to stop. But he didn't even begin to listen to me. Went right out in the street, across the street, and chased him into the next yard. Of course, I was chasing him, too, with my hazing. Well, that was the last time little Tater gets to go out in the front yard by himself without being on a leash. And it's been a good experience because we've taught him using some of the same techniques as hazing the coyotes to get him to change his behavior. One of the problems we had with him in the past, other dogs that we've had haven't had this issue, but he gets so excited when you put on your shoes or when you get the leash and you're getting ready to go, or your coat. He has these different things that he knows what's coming up. Barks like mad. Well, we've got him to stop barking and actually sit and allow the leash to be put on him by clapping, doing the same kind of hazing. No, just one command, which we haven't been good at in the past. And he's behaving a whole lot better. Let's just put on the leash, and we go out without a lot of barking and everything. He's not happy. He can't roam around in the front yard by himself now, but a little dangerous. Some big, full-grown coyotes are parked right in your front yard. So we've learned a lot, and it has different ramifications, not just for the coyote management. Let's talk. Give me a call at 866-444-3478. We haven't had anybody guess the contest picture. I'll give you a little clue about it when we start the next hour. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back right after this.